Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the FinecoBank third quarter 2016 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Foti, CEO of FinecoBank. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining our third quarter 2016 results conference call. As you can see on slide five, third quarter net profit was at 44.6 million, driving the first nine-month results at 162 million, almost 146 million, excluding positive non-recurring items accounted in the second quarter. This quarter is impacted by 11 million gross related to the deposit guarantee scheme, instead of being accounted in the fourth quarter like in 2015. Excluding positive non-recurring items and net of this systemic charge, the pure business-related bottom line accounted at 152.9 million as of September 2016, 2.8% up year-on-year, and 52 million in the quarter, the best quarter of the year and the second-best quarter of ever for Fineco after the third quarter 2015. A very remarkable result confirming our outstanding pace of sustainable growth despite the challenging macroeconomic environment. Revenues, net of Visa transaction in the second quarter, exceeded 405 million in the first nine months, almost flat year-on-year on the wave of lower market volatility compared to the record level in 2015. Net of non-recurring item, cost income ratio went down to 42% as of September 2016, confirming our strong operating leverage and the scalability of our platform. Now, please go through the following slides to analyze more in details all the dynamics. Slide six gives you an overview of our revenue generation distributed across the most important P&L items. Net interest income increased at 186 million in the first nine months, more than 4% up year-on-year, despite continuous worsening of interest rates, mainly sustained by strong volume growth. Fees and commissions down to 177 million as of September, with different underlying dynamics. On the brokerage side, fees decline as clients are more and more moving their trades towards over-the-counter products, whose profitability is reported in the trading profit line, and our international activity is structurally growing. In addition, third quarter recorded a very low level of volatility, while 2015 benefited from a booming one, as you probably remember. Investing commissions grew both quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year, sustained by the successful shift towards guided products and services, now at 55% on total assets under management. Margins on management fees increased as well quarter-on-quarter at 64 basis points. On the banking side, fee income has been hit by the new European regulation, which introduced a cap on the applicable commissions of credit cards, resulting in minus 5.6 million of lower commissions in the first nine months of 2016. The revenue generation has been also enhanced by trading income, contributing with almost 58 million to total revenues as of September. Net of 15.3 million related to Visa transaction in the second quarter, trading profit grew 2.6% year-on-year. Let's move now to the net interest dynamics. We are continuously attracting the so-called transactional liquidity, a very sticky and cheap liquidity, not driven by interest rates, but linked to the high quality of our services and banking platform. The evidence is in the relentless progression inside deposits volumes, more than 18% compared to to 1 year ago and plus 3.5% compared to the previous quarter. This increase combined with dynamics in terms of deposits more than offset the reduction in gross margins and the declining interest rates. As you can see at the bottom of the slide, average gross margins lowered from 1.51% in the first 9 months of 2015 to 1.35%, and Euribor 1 month went down from minus 0.05% to 0.33% in the first 9 months of 2016. It's worth mentioning that Fineco confirmed the lowest cost of funding in the Italian banking system. We are practically close to zero in the current year. On page 8, you can find an update of the sustainability test of interest income coming from the UniCredit bond portfolio. As you know, in the top chart, we summarized the yearly maturities of the existing portfolio with the related average spreads. For example, 1.7 billion will expire in 2017 with an average spread of 178 basis points. In the bottom chart, there are the underlying assumptions. Euribor 1 month remaining negative at minus 0.35% till 2023 versus an average 2015 at minus 0.07%. Expiring bonds and new core liquidity investment both in UniCredit bonds and European government bonds. An average spread on new investments at 116 basis points. The result is shown in the blue bubble, and we need a compound annual growth rate of sight deposits of 9.8% in the period September 2016-23 to maintain the interest income deriving from the UniCredit bonds portfolio at least at 2015 level, offsetting the negative impacts deriving from reinvestments under the above-mentioned stressed hypothesis. As usual, on the right of the chart, we show the deliberate growth. The sight deposits grew in the period 2011-2015 by 14.2%, last year more than 23%, in the first 9 months of 2016, not analyzed, by 14.6%. So we are confident of the sustainability of this component. Moving to slide 9, we have a detailed overview of our cost evolution, confirming the effectiveness of our operating leverage. Staff expenses stood at 57 million in the first 9 months of 2016, up almost 1 million year on year, mainly due to an increase in the working force. Other administrative expenses down 3.8% despite the substantial increase in clients and assets, confirming the scalability of our platform. Development cost at 56.7 million to support the growth, and 50 million running costs related to the effectiveness of our operational machine. Quarterly dynamics on development costs are mainly related to personal financial advisors related costs and seasonality on marketing. Slide 10, Fineco continues to show a low risk balance sheet, confirming our strong capital position with a transitional common equity tier 1 ratio of 23.14% and the common equity tier 1 ratio fully loaded at 24.42%. On slide 11, we updated the historical series of Fineco total financial assets. The healthy expansion of new inflows is supported by 21 billion net sales since 2011, highlighting our strong commercial performance. Challenging market conditions affected the market performance in 2016, minus 1.2 billion coming from the asset under custody component. Moving to slide 12, you see a detailed overview of the net inflows and total financial assets breakdown. Looking at 2016 year-to-date figures, solid net sales at 3.9 billion, substantially aligned to the 2015 record level, confirming the attractiveness of a sustainable and healthy model, which focuses on organic growth and long-term customer loyalty. We are very satisfied, not only by the level, but even more by the quality of our growth, carried out in a sustainable way and practically at zero cost, with no aggressive marketing campaign, several offers on interest rate, or overpaying recruitment to buy assets and clients. Worth mentioning, the successful shift in place towards added value solutions leveraging on our cyber advisory approach. In 2016, we gathered 3.3 billion of net sales in guided products and services out of 1.4 billion in assets under management. This leads to a growing penetration rate on total assets under management to 55%, 12 percentage points higher than last year. Moving to Personal Financial Advisors' performance, they gathered 3.4 billion of net sales in the first 10 months, of which 3.3 billion in guided products, practically the whole amount. They are strongly committed in moving clients into added value solutions, helping clients in managing their wealth with a long-term approach and bearing in mind the client's investment targets. Our ability to grow organically is consistently delivered, confirming the soundness of our inflows. We believe that this business model, characterized by a low dependence from external recruitments, is strongly sustainable on the long run. In addition, we are also strongly focused on increasing the quality of our network. In this respect, we put in place selective policies, both in terms of recruitment and stricter performance evaluation. Now, I would skip the following sections that focus on each single product area to move directly to page 20. As you know, all our strategic choices are driven by sustainability, which is one of our key pillars. We are strongly convinced that this strategy is the successful one, even more in a challenging macroeconomic environment characterized by forthcoming pressure on margins, lower expected returns, and demanding regulation. Sustainability is at the heart of our growth. First of all, client acquisition is exclusively driven by our best-in-class service model without leveraging on short-term incentives. As a matter of fact, our cost of funding is the lowest in the Italian banking system, very close to zero. Second, asset growth is, for the most part, organically generated, with almost 89% of new inflows coming from the existing network through the acquisition of new clients or new assets from the existing clients. We believe that this low dependence from external recruitment is sound and strongly sustainable in the long run, also for a future cost sustainability. Third, fairness and respect towards the clients is the leitmotif in our day-by-day activity, as the relationship with our clients is the most valuable asset we have. Moreover, pricing transparency, which characterize our offer, bring us a step forward regarding incoming MiFID II. All of above mentioned qualities lead to high quality, recurrent profitability over the cycle, characterized by diversified and sustainable revenue growth in all market conditions. A deep internal IT culture allows us to leverage on cutting-edge technology, difficult to replicate, and leaving our operating leverage unmatched in the banking system arena. On slide 21, we have an update regarding the delivery on announced industrial discontinuity. With this sustainability framework, we identified three main areas that will lead to a new phase of growth for the bank, as announced last quarter. First one, the productivity in the network, leveraging on our cyber advisory approach and the new XNet platform now fully in place. Second, the renewed focus on lending through the offer of mortgages going live this month and the acceleration on personal loans. In addition to this, we are developing a new product called Rolling Lombard that will give us great opportunities. Last point, our planned expansion in the UK coming soon in December and go live at the beginning of 2017. In the top charts of slide 22, we summarized the first results at a glance on initiatives already launched. During the last month, we started to move aggressively on cyber advisory approach, leveraging on our best-in-class internal IT culture. The bank is able to take care of a more structured asset allocation based on algorithmic/quantitative approach. In this way, the network can dedicate more time to manage the relationship with clients, better understanding their needs, how they evolve over the time, increasing the quality of the services and the customer experience. At the same time, this will allow financial planners to reach an increased number of clients, improving, for this reason, their productivity. As final step of this process, we recently set up a revolutionary platform for financial planners called XNet, with a new tool able to estimate clients' financial gaps and generate personalized investment proposal. This will allow financial planners to hook customers not yet approached or not fully developed, enlarging the actively managed clients. A KPI to monitor our process in this respect is the penetration rate of gathered products and services that reflect our cyber advisory approach. We are very satisfied about the strong acceleration in terms of volumes, increasing in September more than 12% compared to 2016. In October, the penetration rate reached a new record, 55% on total asset under management, equal to 15.3 billion. The success coming from cyber advisory is also confirmed by the different mix recorded in the recent month on net inflows. With regards to lending, we are strongly focused in accelerating personal loans activity, leveraging on a deep knowledge of our clients and on a brand new instant approval platform for eligible clients' requests, a very efficient and real-time process. As you can see in the chart, personal loans increased almost 55% year-on-year and more than 12% compared to the second quarter, helping in sustaining net interest income. On the wave of our innovative DNA, we are also developing a revised Lombard loan with a floating pledge, allowing clients to change pledged assets without closing the credit line. We are convinced that this evolution would be very, very welcome by clients for its flexibility and efficiency. Several benefits are envisaged for clients, financial planners, and the bank, since it will allow to, first of all, rebalance clients' portfolio without closing the credit line, which is very helpful, for example, when managing assets are under advice. Second, extend the maximum lending limit 3 times compared to traditional Lombard. And third, increase overall margins for the bank with an expected very low cost of risk coupled with a more attractive rates for the clients. Thanks for your time. And now we will open the call to your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Matteo Ghirotti with Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. couple of questions. The first one is on the brokerage fees in October, if the month was still, let's say, quiet or was a bit better than the average month in the last quarter. And the second question is on the exclusion of UniCredit bonds from the calculation of the leverage ratio. We know that there is a decision from the ECB pending, if there is any update on that. Thank you.
Regarding the October brokerage activity, has been pretty much in line with the previous month, considering that October as well has been extremely low in terms of volatility. We are experiencing now a rebound during the month of November that is current with the uptick we had on volatility. Regarding the evolution on the leverage ratio, so ECB launched a consultation paper on the exercise of options and discretions available in the union law. So now regarding the risk-weighted assets, the ECB confirmed the waiver that has been previously provided by the Bank of Italy. On leverage ratio, we are expecting a resolution by the year end, and this resolution is going to be case by case, so we are not expecting one single decision that is going to be valid for all the banking system, but is going to be considered the position of every single bank that is considered. Regarding this point, again, at the moment we have no brand new news regarding this, and as we had the opportunity to explain several times, it's not a matter of a big concern for us, because as we explained, also assuming the worst case scenario, but this is not, we're not saying them because we are expecting that this is going to be the outcome, because in any case, in the case there is an outcome that is in direction not considering the waiver, this would bring in to some kind of incoherency between the way are calculated risk-weighted assets and the way is calculated the leverage ratio. But nevertheless, assuming that we go for the worst-case scenario, we think that the bank is in the position to quite easily manage the situation with the issuance of an 81 that also assuming, based on our calculation, assuming an quite expensive interest rate. This is not going to affect our P&L and our dividend policy, because it's going to be accounted passing through the balance sheet and not throughout the P&L. We have also to consider that this is pretty sustainable, because the bank has a structural, despite the fact that we are extremely generous in terms of dividend distribution, we have an organic generation of capital, because the business model is extremely capital light, and so also considering the natural organic generation of capital, also maintaining a very generous dividend policy, is able to manage the situation very comfortably, also in the case we have a solution that moves in direction of the worst case scenario, that again, in the case it happens, it would be in deep incoherency with the approach used for the risk-weighted assets.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. A couple of questions from my side as well. The first one is on the reinvestment of the liquidity you're still gathering at a good pace and of the expiry of the existing investments. Can you give us an idea of what will be the current and future investment policy, or put in other terms, if we can expect that when there is an expiry of the existing portfolio of UCG bonds, you are going to reinvest into other assets and potentially, government bonds, or you are thinking about diversifying into other assets, or even keeping investing into UCG bonds. Thank you.
Many thanks for these questions, because it gives me the opportunity to discuss a little bit more in depth regarding our liquidity investment policy, because the last few weeks and months we had a lot of discussions underway on the topic. So first of all, as we explained, for the time being, there is nothing that has changed that is going to force us in changing what we are doing. So there is no reason that we have to change our approach, and so keeping on reinvesting in UniCredit bonds, because the regulations remain pretty much the same, and so there is a very clear regulatory advantage after the recent disposal of the 20% stake. The bank remains consolidating the group, and we are part of the group, so nothing has changed. At the same time, as we presented during the second half results, the first half results, the two most relevant discontinuity we introduced, the increase in productivity by the network, and the re-enter in the lending business, clearly is expected to play to have an impact on our investment policy, because the more we are successful in moving in direction of asset under management products, and the less liquidity we are going to have to reinvest. And so clearly, the more we are successful and the happier we are. And the second, the same story, the more successful we are going to be in improving our lending business, mortgages particularly, and the Lombard rate, and less we are going to reinvest in UniCredit bonds. But clearly, this is an industrial move, and so everything that is going to exceed what we have in the region of our natural expectations clearly are going to move in the direction of reducing exposure on the UniCredit bonds. And finally, but this is a very simple, again, is a very simple exercise we made. It's possible that starting from the future presentation, we are going to introduce another stress test on the sustainability of our net interest income, because you were mentioning if we are not considering to invest in something different from UniCredit bonds. As I explained, at the moment we are not considering, because we don't need, because nothing has changed, so we are not in a rush. In any case, in order to bring a little bit more a little bit more relaxed approach, because we read recently a lot of completely misleading conclusions regarding what can happen in the keys. We are not able to reinvest anymore in UniCredit bonds with the expectation of a dramatic drop in the net interest income. So we made a very stupid and very simple exercise, assuming that over the next 3 years, we are going, instead of reinvesting in UniCredit bonds, we are going to invest in government bonds, particularly not clearly Italian government bonds, using an extremely cautious approach with an average duration that is below 5 years. And assuming an approach like this, This, clearly, this is an extreme scenario. This would cause a decrease of expected of the gross interest margins by 7 million of euros, 2016. 7 million
in 2017,
17 million in 2018, and 24 million in 2019.
I probably missed something. What is this, the impact coming from?
In the case we assume that starting from next year, instead of reinvesting in UniCredit bonds, we invest in Italian government
bonds. Okay, thank you.
With an expected average duration that is between in the region of 5 years, the expected impact is going to be minus 7 million of gross interest margins in 2017, minus 17 million in 2018, and minus 24 million in 2019 gross. As you can see, is an extremely negligible impact. And in any case, it's not considering another potential advantage that we can have, because clearly if we mentioned this opportunity that the bank has, but clearly in the past, that clearly the bank is going to be in a great position to enjoy in the case there is a steepening of the yield curve, because this is an assumption that is extremely cautious, because I want to remind that a duration of 5 years in the investments is very well much below the expected persistences of our deposits that is keeping on rising. And now, according with our models, that they are models validated by ECB, is definitely above 10 years. So clearly we are assuming an investment of 5 years, so we are taking a great caution. Second, clearly, the more we have a steepening in the yield curve, and the more clearly the situation can move in our favor. So as you can see, and clearly as you know, the in terms of impact on risk-weighted assets for the time being, the impact of the European government bonds is zero. And also assuming a possible weighting in the region of 20% is still absolutely sustainable in terms of capital position of the bank. So, but this is not a guidance respect what we are expected to do in the next future, but is a pure example in how has been absolutely irrational and a little bit exaggerated all the knee-jerk reactions we had on the market in the recent months and weeks, considering all the discussions underway.
Thank you. That was very useful. Going back to one of your comments at the question, what is the possibility? I mean, you started the activity to roll out the mortgage activity, the lending activity in the summer. Are you feeling that the success of this development is stronger now that you are some months down the road in rolling out this project towards the network and the clients?
Yes, all the indications we are receiving, both from the network and from the clients, are extremely encouraging and keeping on reinforcing. So, but this is not unexpected, because as explained, for Fineco, the residential mortgage is not a brand new business. Before entering UniCredit Group, the bank was running an extremely large and successful residential mortgage business that has reached a peak of more than 7 billion euros. At the moment, based on our estimates and confirmed, our clients, they have with other banks, so our lawyer clients, they have with other banks more than 8 billion of residential mortgages. When I'm saying lawyer clients, I'm saying clients that have a mortgage with another bank, but they are paying the mortgage, sending the money from Fineco. Usually when you have a mortgage with a bank, you have everything there. So the credit of the crediting of your salary and so on. In this case, they want to prefer to maintain everything in Fineco and paying the mortgage. So these are absolutely loyal clients that they are going to be very happy to move in direction to have everything in one single place. And second, clearly there is we consider that we are starting right now in the business, and we can enjoy a very favorable position because the traditional banking system, as you probably know very well, is sit on a huge, gigantic, big risk that is a prepayment risk. So a large part of the stock of the Italian residential mortgage is still under the threat of a prepayment, because this is only a small part has been refinanced, and considering the huge and dramatic collapse in interest rates and spreads, there is still a wide room for moving in that direction. So putting everything together, and we are able to confirm that we remain extremely positive on what we can expect from this business. We are going to start the first transactions probably by the mid probably on November, end of November, and so everything is absolutely pretty much in line with our plans.
Thank you. I have a final question, if I can. It's on the repricing of some services like credit cards, etc., that you are implementing. I would like to know if it's possible to have an indication of which kind of services you may reprice and what kind of impact we may have at commission level.
No, in terms of repricing, clearly the only repricing we have in place is related to credit cards. But this is clearly driven by the fact that there is the interchange commissions have been cut by half by the European Commissions. We repriced our credit cards, so the new issued credit cards they've been repriced at 19 euros per card per year, and clear that this remains very well below the average of the industry. So our service is going to be extremely competitive. In terms of impact, we lost 5.6 million in the first 9 months, caused by the cut of interchange commissions, and we are expecting to lose 8 million in 8 million in 2016. Overall, what we expect from this repricing at the end of the process, when all the cards are going to be replaced, that practically the negative impact is going to be fully compensated by the repricing by 2019.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Gianluca Ferrari with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Just one question, a very quick one, on the eventual possibility you will have to issue an AT1. I understand the coupon will be accounted in the balance sheet, but I don't know if you agree with me that an AT1 for you might cost something in between 8 to 10%. So my question is, could you eventually consider financing the replenish of the leverage ratio via a reduction in the payout ratio, therefore retaining more earnings, or the 80% payout is certainly not going to be touched at all? Thank you.
No, we think that the 81 solution passing through the balance sheet, in our opinion, remains the best option. Again, because this is related to the fact that the bank, despite that is extremely generous in the dividend policy, is structurally and organically continuously generating additional capital. And so in the case we move in that direction, this would mean that we would land in a situation in which we are going to slow or stopping the continuous generation of organic of new capital that in any case we don't need, because many times during the meeting we have with investors that we are asking us what we have in mind to do with the excess of capital we have. So we think that considering our situation characterized by an excess of capital and the fact that we are continuously generating additional capital thanks to the very capital light business model, this means that that solution, also assuming in our calculation we are assuming clearly that AT1 can be extremely expensive, also assuming that kind of solution, and this is absolutely current with the situation. We, in our the case, we move in that direction, considering that has been confirmed that the target level is going to be a 3% leverage ratio. The total amount of AT1 can be in the region between 250 and 300 millions of euros. That again is absolutely current with the organic generation of new capital we have.
So the cost, in your opinion, could be how much?
We it's extremely difficult to say. We have a range of pricing. That is
okay. Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with Autonomous. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. I have a number of questions. I'll go one by one, if you don't mind. The first, thank you for hinting at this simulation on the NII you were talking about before and the sensitivity. Just understand a little bit the assumption behind this simulation. What is the yield at which you imagine to reinvest this liquidity from UniCredit bonds? Because at the moment, of course, in Italy, Europe, everywhere, I mean, rates are very low, and it's difficult to imagine that you can get a similar investment at pretty similar yield unless you move, upward into the risk curve, and then there will be, of course, a burden to risk-weighted assets. So any more hints on this simulation, that would be great.
Regarding this point, because probably you are referring to the second simulation we made, in which instead of reinvesting UniCredit bonds, we are going to reinvest in Italian government bonds.
All right. Yes.
In this case, we are assuming, again, a maturity and duration that is in the region of 5 years, and we are assuming to have an average yield of 55 basis points.
Italians
and correctly is a blend of Italians and Spanish bonds.
So the yield at which you imagine to invest is 0.55, correct?
Yes.
So, I mean, unless I'm basically missing something, is there any assumption of expanding the lending book more aggressively in this simulation? Because everybody has done this simulation, of course, and the...
No, but this simulation... This simulation is a very simple one, because we are exclusively trying to simulate what can happen in the case. For example, next year we have 1.7 billion of UniCredit bonds expiring.
Right.
Instead of reinvesting in UniCredit bonds, the simulation is assuming that we are going to reinvest in a portfolio made by Italian government bonds and Spanish government bonds with an average yield of 0.55%. And the same story in 2018 and 2019. And this, without considering what we are expecting to have in terms of impact produced by the lending activity, as a standalone impact, is going to produce a decline in gross net interest margin by 7 millions in 2017 and 17 millions in 2018 and 24 millions in 2019. So, but this is a pure exercise to demonstrate that everything that has been written and discussed recently has been by far a little bit exaggerated. And my opinion is missing the most relevant part of the story that everybody seems that forgetting, that the real strength and the real reason why our net interest income is so wealthy and sustainable is because we are our funding cost is zero. There is no other bank in the Italian banking system, but also in the remaining part of Europe that is in that kind of situation. And again, this is driven by the business model. But this is the, I don't know if I answered that to your question.
Now I understand better the simulation. So that will not be the worst case scenario. That will be just gradual reinvestments of the from sale of UniCredit bonds.
Yes.
But assuming the worst case scenario instead, that basically you don't benefit anymore from the exclusion from Basel III, and basically you need to change the business model in a way, and assuming a shift, of course, of these bonds into different corporate and govies, as you mentioned, what would be, first of all, the expansion of the loan book that you maybe can imagine in this scenario? And second, what could be an optimal level of capital under this scenario?
First of all, as we explained, the waiver related to Basel III and risk-weighted assets has been recently confirmed. So there is no reason to move throughout this kind of exercise, because there is no problems on that side, because the only point remaining on the table is the final decision from ECB regarding the confirmation of the waiver also on the leverage ratio. But on the leverage ratio, we explained which kind of plan we have in the case we move in the worst case scenario. So it's a scenario that, again, is not we are not working on that kind of scenario, because it's not real, because again, everything has been very recently confirmed. And second, again, this would mean that we have again to reconsider and some kind of corporate action that is going to change the position of the bank. But the most recent developments, I think, that has finally put the final word on the situation with the recent placement of 20%. So at the moment, so the bank is in the group, and so is going to keep on enjoying on the that kind of capital privilege that has been reconfirmed by ECB recently.
Okay, I understand. For next year, this 1.7 billion that you mentioned they're going to expire of UniCredit bonds, how should we expect this to be reconfirmed, or you expect basically to expand more your lending base, given that there was already a material growth in the third quarter?
Regarding the lending business, again, what we are doing is driven by industrial rationals. So clearly, as I said, we during the two discontinuities we presented at the end of the first half, increasing productivity of the network, that means an increase of the amount of asset under management, and the increase of our lending business. Clearly, we are industrially driven, and we are going to push as much as we can in that direction, because we think that is in the interest of the bank. Because clearly, the more our clients are in an asset allocation characterized by asset under management products, and the better it is. At the same time, the more successful we are in the moving in a mortgage business and lending with a very risk profile like the Rolling Lombard and so on, and the better is for us. So we are going to move in the most possible aggressive way, but clearly we are entering in a completely brand new world, and so we have no and a clear figure to give you regarding that point. Clear that everything that is going to exceed our expectation is going to be used for reducing the financial investments. And so clearly and the lion's share of our financial investment by definition is represented by UniCredit bonds. So to summarize, everything that we are going to do better than expected in terms of our capability to move in the direction of asset under management products and our capability to increase our lending business in an extremely wealthy and extremely under control way related to mainly residential mortgages and rolling Lombard and personal loans, again, is going to move in direction of reducing our financial investments and mainly the UniCredit bonds investments.
Is there, just the last question, is there an optimal level of capital you don't want basically bring your core tier one below that, which is coherent with your business, of course?
We are not running a bank with a certain kind of target, because clearly, as explained before, the bank is organically generating additional capital, and this is the reason why we are absolutely comfortable. For example, in the case we have an evolution in direction of the worst case scenario on the leverage ratio. Having said that, clearly we are not forced to use our capital. We have no other measures in direction of reducing our capital and so on. So increasing even more the dividend or distributing capital to the shareholders. So we have not a target. We are driving the bank based on industrial rationals, and our industrial rationals are going to be keep on moving aggressively in direction of expanding as much as we can the penetration of asset under management with guided solutions, and clearly taking all the opportunities offered by the lending business that is related to the activities of our base of clients.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Foti, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you.